Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Bertola and Eric. Welcome to another edition of Hot Takes. I am Eric Nifong. You can find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong. And I'm joined by Nolan Haig. You can find him on Twitter at NJH09. And we have week four of the NFL done, week five college football, and the baseball playoffs are starting, as well as some NBA preseason basketball. So it's a good time to be a sports fan right now.
Yeah, definitely a lot going on.
Yeah, most definitely. And also for you hockey fans, there's some NHL out there too. But, yeah.
What? What's that?
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, we have quite a bit to talk about tonight. We're going to kind of just talk about who we thought won the regular season awards in baseball. We're going to go through our baseball playoff predictions and whatever time we have left over, talk about some football. So I guess we should get started here.
Yeah, definitely. Where do you want to go first?
I don't care. Pick one of our games from last week.
All right. I guess we can just get this out of the way since it wasn't too exciting. Washington and Stanford. Washington, of course, won 44-6. Yeah, just not a whole lot to say other than it was a blowout. Washington held Christian McCaffrey to 49 yards on 12 carries and only 30 yards receiving. And we're just overall really good all around on offense.
Yeah, and Washington quarterback Jacob Browning has played really spectacular so far this season. He is actually could be a kind of a dark horse here for the Heisman. Has put up some pretty good numbers and kind of a surprising year for Washington. But if they can keep it up, they look like they could be the team to beat in the Pac-12. And by the way, it's looking there's a spot open for them come playoff time.
Yeah, definitely. They definitely control their own destiny. They have one team on their schedule right now that is ranked left, and that's Utah. So it's definitely wide open for them.
Yeah, I think they just got to be careful because while I kind of thought going into the season the Pac-12 didn't have a national championship contender, I thought that they were one of the strongest conferences just because you can go to the bottom of that conference and they can still put up a tough game against you. So you definitely have to be on your A game every week from here on out. But if they do, the path is theirs.
Yeah. All right. I guess that's really all we got to do about – or really all we got there. Next up, we got a game with – a little less scoring on both sides. Wisconsin and Michigan was 14-7, of course. Michigan actually left a lot of points on the board, had three field goals missed between two kickers. So that's always pretty frustrating. But they were able to get the late touchdown or a touchdown in the fourth quarter to go ahead and ended up with that crazy one-handed pick to kind of steal it for him.
Yeah, I didn't get to catch much of that game, of course. Was at a wedding over the weekend. But, yeah, it looked like just your typical Big Ten matchup of tough defenses and a lot of struggles on offense. Michigan's really going to have to step it up on their on the offensive end if they want to compete with Ohio State, because they have a guy who is still making a case for the Heisman this year, and JT Barrett, who, and that offense can put up a lot of points. So Wilson Spate is going to kind of have to take control here.
Yeah. Like you said, you're definitely going to need to score points if you're going to at least compete with, much less beat, Ohio State. And Wilton Spade's going to need to be the guy to take control of that offense and start putting more points than 14 on the board, because Wisconsin definitely didn't play that great on offense. If a few more things go their way, then they could easily win this game.
Yeah, most definitely. I think Wisconsin is one of the better teams in the Big Ten, but Michigan, they continue to look for real, and their defense continues to play this way. They'll have a chance against anyone, but they still have to score some points here. So it'll be interesting to see how they kind of evolve here going down the stretch and before they take on Ohio State.
Yep.
And Michigan State, for that matter.
Yeah. Also, yeah. No, there's definitely a lot of teams that are going to give you trouble in that conference. It's not by any means decided.
Yeah. Definitely not. But I guess that brings us to a game that you look at the box score and you think, oh, a sloppy game, but was apparently the game of the night. I know we some of it on our way back from the wedding over the weekend, the reception. Great performance by two guys who are looked at as cream of the crop in college football at the quarterback position, and Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson. Watson, he brought his team out, got him out to a big lead. Lamar Jackson battled back, but Watson was able to kind of keep the reins, keep him in, and was able to pull out the victory even after four turnovers. And I liked what I saw from both teams here, and I think it's going to be hard, but Louisville might still be able to be a player here at the end.
You definitely can't rule them out. Like you said, a really resilient performance from Lamar Jackson and Louisville. You could have easily thought this game was over, but they came right out in the second half, score on five straight possessions to take the lead. And, you're thinking, wow, this is going to be quite a finish, and it definitely delivered. Both guys looked worthy of their Heisman reputations, I guess. Deshaun Watson had a little trouble with turnovers, but definitely neither one of these guys definitely lost any footing in that race.
Yeah, definitely not. And Louisville was actually, 3 yards? I guess a yard away from having a chance.
It was
3 yards away from tying the game. Receiver should have cut back in. I don't know why he ran towards the boundary. All the defender had to do then was push him out, and turnover on down.
I thought it was just as easy as him hurdling the guy. Isn't that what the radio said?
Oh yeah, that's what the play call on the radio said. Should have just hurdled him, but I don't know if everyone is capable of that. So I would have taken the easier route and cut it back inside where there was nobody within at least 5 yards.
Just
Lamar
really
wasn't happy about
there.
That. You saw him slam his helmet a couple times, just in kind of frustration. You could tell how much passion he had for the game, and it was a heartbreaker. But I think that he's only going to get better from this, so we'll have to see.
Yeah, definitely. Both of these teams are really good college football teams, and yeah, at the end of the year they'll definitely be competing.
Yeah, most definitely. So, but yeah, I guess that kind of wraps up. I guess we can go over our upset picks here. We both got these right. I had Oklahoma over TCU. It looked like it was going to be TCU there for a minute, but Oklahoma ended up coming out and put up 52 points, and when it looked like their offense was going to struggle yet again. But they ended up finding their footing and beat the number 21 team. And now the Big 12 is down to Baylor. So I don't see the Big 12 having a team here at the end. They've kind of all just not performed to their potential.
Yeah.
Or they're all just really bad.
I don't know. It definitely seems like the last couple of years, parity has kind of caught up in a lot of places. A lot of teams are losing, and with with all the realignment that kind of changed climate, the Big 12's definitely suffered a little bit. But my upset was also the Big 12, and that was Oklahoma State over Texas, and that definitely happened. Texas didn't play so good. From what I understand, there's three blocked extra points, and one of them actually got ran back for 2 points. So, is there anything you want to say about that?
Well, big game this weekend. I think it determines the future of Charlie Strong. If they don't win on Saturday, I think it's all but a foregone conclusion that he's gone. I just don't see it happening. He's a defensive coach. The defense has just gotten worse and worse each year, and that's not what you like to see. They demoted Vance Bedford to defensive backs coach. Now Charlie Strong's apparently taken over the defense, so hopefully we see something on Saturday, at least his players. From what I've heard, they all really like him, and so you have to believe that they've heard everything going around. So I kind of think that we'll see kind of an inspiring performance, but is it going to be enough? I don't know. I still like what the offense has done. They're down Chris Warren now for 6 to 8 weeks with a knee injury. Good. That takes one of their big running backs out of the equation. Deontay Foreman does look like he'll be able to play those, so that is good news. And really, I know after the first week there's a lot of talk that they're back, but turns out Notre Dame's just pretty bad, and Texas is still trying to look for answers. They are really young, so there's still that hope, but I think a lot hinges on this Saturday.
So if they lose Saturday, he's out for sure.
Yes.
And if they – and that would be what, just like by next week or the end of the season?
End of the season. I don't think they're a program that's going to fire someone in the middle of the season. However, I didn't think Les Miles would get fired in the middle of the season. I don't think he deserved that. So you don't really know what's going to happen until it happens. But, I think that they'd let it ride out till the end of the season because, like I said, their players really like Charlie, and I think that there'd be a fear of them quitting on the team the rest of the year and possibly people wanting out and going somewhere else. So I think there's quite a bit of factors there that would say that he should stay. Now, if they come out and lose 63-3 on Saturday, we might have to rethink things, but yeah.
Yeah, hopefully hopefully they can turn things around. You would like to think that as big of a kind of a rebuild as this, you would think that this has been that he'd get more than 3 years, but it would kind of be a shame to if it just doesn't work out like that. But wish, got a short wish list though, if he is out.
I mean, I like him. I'd like for him to stay. He hasn't done what a lot of fans have wanted to do in a shorter amount of time. But I guess if I had to pick here, Les Miles is out. I don't want him. Tom Herman is a good choice. There's a lot of rumors that he's kind of just been waiting around for the Texas job to open up. So that would be interesting. I thought maybe Kevin Sumlin, but it looks like A&M trying to turn things around here. So I don't know if that would be an option. But one sleeper that I think would be a long shot would be offering Urban Meyer a chance to leave Ohio State. He's never really stuck around the program for very long. He is from Ohio, though, and so I think that'd be a really tough one. But everything comes back to Tom Herman, and I think that would be the guy. So, yeah.
Yeah, I can't see Urban Meyer leaving, not just the whole being from Ohio, but just the fact that they're – the Big 12 doesn't have a championship game like that. I mean, it's just, I guess if there's anybody who could probably get to the playoff in the Big 12 without a championship game, it could be him, but why, I don't know, why make it harder on yourself, I guess. I feel like he's got a good thing going, but Tom Herman's definitely the hot name. But we're just going to have to wait and see, I guess. And we did Chiefs Steelers.
Yes.
So I guess that, I mean, obviously that wasn't a good game. Came out not just flat, but pretty much god-awful. Fumble, horrible interception, just getting horribly exposed in the secondary by the league's best quarterback, wide receiver, running back duo. Le'Veon Bell looked great.
Trio.
Trio, yeah, whatever. quartet, I don't know. Darius Haley-Bake had a touchdown.
Throw Marquise Pouncey in there.
Right.
Darius Haley-Bake.
But Jesse James, fastest gun in the West, but fastest in Pittsburgh, what, the East maybe, I don't know, but I don't have a whole lot to say other than I kind of had a bad feeling for the Chiefs entering the year. I felt like the weaknesses could be exposed too easily, and I still wasn't ready to trust the offense, and it looks like I might be right. You kind of hope that they can kind of put things together and finish like they did last year with, you know, rattling off a bunch of wins. But and they are only 2-2, but I don't know. Things just don't look great right now. The offense looks terrible, and the back end of the defense can definitely be porous, especially when there's no pass rush.
Yeah, so I saw a meme, or I guess a GIF over the weekend, and it was a GIF of three guys, and one guy comes up behind the other guy and slaps him in the head and runs off. The guy gets up mad and turns to a guy that's sitting there that didn't do it, and he hits him, and they put the Eagles logo, Steelers logo, and Chiefs logo on each of their heads. And that kind of is what it reminded me of. The Steelers got beat down the week before, and they came out and they were ready to attack. And the Chiefs, who have started slow all year, just could not afford to do that on this night. They hadn't played a great team yet, so they weren't having this happen. Almost happened to Chargers, but luckily the Chargers like to blow leads in the second half, so the Chiefs were able to pull that one out. But if they come out like they do have been all year against teams that are good, like the Steelers, that's what's going to happen. They got a couple of things to figure out here if they want a chance of that at a wild card spot. It looks at this point that the Raiders and the Broncos have figured things out. Maybe the Raiders are getting a little lucky here, but they're getting wins. So Chiefs have to keep pace here and have better starts.
Yeah, no, definitely just got to focus on winning games. The Raiders, yeah, we'll see what happens there, but the Broncos are definitely basically, it would appear to be on the same level as last year. If you can't outscore them, you're probably going to lose. You don't want to be in a close game with them. So, they got a lot of catching up to you. But the meme that I saw after the game, or I guess yesterday, was a picture of four kids, photoshopped heads of Le'Veon Bell, Ben Roethlisberger, Mike Tomlin, and I don't know, somebody else. All the
Antonio
Steelers,
Brown.
And they all said, yeah, Antonio Brown, there we go. And and it said, you guys want to see a dead body? And then the next picture was, of course, just a guy laying dead in the bushes and with a Photoshop Chiefs helmet on his head. So that was, you know, that was good.
Yeah, that pretty much sums up that game. But I guess that wraps up our picks here. The last week of picks, we're resetting now. We both finished 3-2, 1-0 in our upsets. So you kept your three-game lead and finished the season at 50-50. And I finished 47-53, and we were both 5-8 on our upset picks. So definitely didn't lose by 14 games this time. So getting better.
Yeah. I definitely need to do better than 500. I'm gonna have to try, because I can't let you catch me. I got a record to uphold.
I'm winning this next one, so.
Okay, well.
I'm gonna go 73 Warriors.
See you in 20 weeks.
Sounds good. I'll be here. All right.
Hold on. Before we move on, a quick update on this Baltimore-Toronto game. We're in the top of the 11th with two outs. I might be behind, but Nolan Reimold is up. There's nobody on, though, so we'll see what happens. Maybe it'll end by the time we're done, but probably not.
Yeah, I guess that could have been one of our hot picks, it looks like, this week, but
Oh, and it is now the middle of the 11th inning.
All right. Well,
so,
I guess that should bring us here to our regular season awards here. Who we thought should get our awards? Just did rookie, Cy Young, and MVP here of each league. So, you want to do that?
Yeah, let's get it going.
All right. Well. First of all, NL MVP, quite a bit of names here to choose from. A couple of them from the same team. Who you taking for NL MVP this year?
I kind of thought about it for a while. but ultimately I'm just gonna go with Chris Bryant. He's having a crazy good year, doing pretty much everything with the bat while playing third base and part time outfield. Getting a lot of versatility and a lot of production out of him for probably the best team in the majors. So don't think you can go wrong there.
Yeah, definitely not. That's who I had here. 39 homers, 102 RBI, 292 batting average, on the best team in baseball. He was great all year, and I think he's deserving. But I wouldn't be mad if you gave it to Anthony Rizzo, his teammate. So, I like both those options as my top two.
Yeah, I also kind of gave Corey Seager some consideration, but ultimately just couldn't quite do it. He's been really impressive also, but let's just say the NL MVP races are going to be something else for the next few years.
Yeah, most definitely. A lot of great young stars, Giancarlo Bryce, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo. You could go on and on. Nolan Arenado,
yeah. Right.
A lot of guys capable. So should be a lot of fun here. All right, I guess that brings us to our AL MVP. Who you got?
I guess I'm going to be boring. With the AL, again, there's kind of a lot of names that you could go through, but no, for the AL, just not a whole lot of names really, like, stood out to me. So I guess I got to go Mike Trout. I mean, he's just been consistently great, and it's kind of boring, but you can't argue with it.
Yeah, he finished number three here for me. I did something that I said I was against all year, but now looking at it, I gave it to Jose Altuve when we did our midseason awards. And I would have kept with him had the Astros made it in, but I had to give it to Big Poppy. 315, 38 homers, 127 RBI. He didn't play in the field, but to be able to do what he was doing at his age and going out like that, I thought he was deserving. So I gave it to Big Poppy.
Man, I don't know, man. I mean, he's been amazing this year, better than anybody expected. But he hasn't. When was the last time he even played the field?
I know, but still,
that's half the game.
There's plenty of DHs out there that aren't putting up the kind of numbers he is at the age he is, and I think kind of.
But Mike Trout had the same batting average and played the field and stole 30 bases.
Well, his team sucks.
That's not his fault.
Well, make your team better. I don't know.
You can't do that. And it's not like David Ortiz. I mean, they probably could make the playoffs without him.
Well, they finished in last year, and now they finished in first. So,
yeah, it's, you know, when you can buy your team, but all right.
Well, the Angels can too. Not my fault that they picked the wrong guys.
Yeah, they really did. They blew the signings. All right. Well, anyway, let's keep this moving. what do we got? Cy Young. Let's go there. Who you got for the National League Cy Young?
I had a hard time with this one. Of course, there's a lot of deserving guys. I thought this was the hardest hardest one to pick because there was not anyone who just really stood out to me. But I ultimately went with Kyle Kendricks here. Kendricks, I don't know who that is. Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. He might be a NASCAR driver.
Yeah, I think he is, but we forget. he finished 16-8 this year, 2.13 ERA, had 170 strikeouts on the best team in baseball all year. Was really a surprise considering who the other starters are on his team with Jake Arrieta, John Lester. He was probably the best one that they had. His team, I thought that the wins could have been a little higher, but his team really struggled to score runs when he pitched. He was my 1A, and my 1B here was Jose Fernandez. He finished 16-8, same record as Hendricks, had a higher ERA at 2.86, but almost had almost 100 more strikeouts, and I think he would be a worthy choice as well.
Yeah, like you said, there's a lot of names. I can't necessarily disagree with those two guys you suggested. I just kind of went ahead and picked somebody else. I went with Max Scherzer. He, again, was just great. Had a sub-3 ERA, struck out 284 batters. Actually had a lot more innings pitched than a lot of these other guys that we're talking about. I just figured why not. Definitely even guys we haven't mentioned. Noah Syndergaard had a good year. Madison Bumgarner, of course, and Johnny Cueto for the Giants. Even Clayton Kershaw had another ridiculous year. You just can't. I mean, he was probably hurt too much for you to probably want to give him that, though.
Yeah. Clayton Kershaw would have stayed healthy all year. I think he wins it going away here. He was having a historic season. Just couldn't make it happen. So, I could see Max Scherzer too. He was one of the guys that I was thinking about here. Yeah, I think all those guys are deserving. I think that's going to be the hardest award to pick this year.
Yep. All right. Well, let's go to the American League. Who you got there?
Well, I guess no one really blew away numbers here. I guess nobody was near the top.
Tell me you did it.
And what?
You did. Just go ahead.
When looking at everything here, a couple of guys surprised me, like Justin Verlander. He finished second in ERA in the AL, was tops in strikeouts, went 16-9. But I had to go Rick Porcello for the Red Sox, 22-4, 3.15 ERA, 189 strikeouts. Rick Porcello, who would have thought?
All right, well, I guess here's my big poppy moment because, like you said, nobody really jumped out to me. I wasn't particularly impressed by anybody, a year that anybody's had, except for one man. No. Except for one man, and that man is Zach Britton.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. 0.54 ERA, the best ever by any full-time closer, of course, 47 out of 47 saves. Nobody had a special year except him. You're going to throw at me, you know, all the lack of innings pitched compared to these other guys, but I mean, he was probably the best pitcher in a very vague sense, their vague definition of the word, in the American League.
Um, I just have a hard time giving a Cy Young Award to, I don't know. I don't know. He may not have been that great because apparently Buck Showalter refused to use him tonight, and in the bottom of the 11th, Edwin Encarnacion hit a walk-off three-run home.
You're on the road. You're on the road. I mean, yeah, it sucks. I mean, yeah, they got, what was it, first and third with one out.
When you have them.
Yeah,
your
well,
best players when you have
I
them.
Mean.
You threw Ubaldo Jimenez into the game, and you lost because of it. Because you didn't want to pitch your AL Cy Young Award winner.
What can I say? Buck Showalter's the chess master.
Yeah, apparently. Anyway, so yeah, Toronto will be taking on that one team in the AL.
The,
not the Red Sox,
Texas
the
Rangers.
Indians. Yeah, the Texas Rangers, that team.
The number one seed in the AL.
Yep. Let's move on here. NL Rookie of the Year, who you got?
Definitely Corey Seager. I mean, that's just not hard at all. 308, 365, 512 flash line, 26 home runs. He's just been flat out dynamite.
Yep, that was the easiest pick of them all. Diaz, Aledmys Diaz, the other guys who consider Aledmys Diaz, Trevor Story, going to stay healthy all year. So Corey Seager, who's going to be considered in the MVP race, wins that one easily. All right, what about AL?
Of course, that one was a little more typical or harder to pick, I guess. And I just went with a guy who was probably the most consistent. Michael Fulmer stepped into that Tigers rotation and was solid for him all year.
Yep, that's who I went with too. Really was probably the best pitcher on the team for the majority of the year. He was another one of those guys who really didn't get a lot of run support though, which is why his record didn't exactly say that he was the best pitcher, I guess.
Yeah,
and
it's definitely rookie of the year and not rookie of the third of the year. Otherwise, that would have definitely gone to Gary Sanchez.
Yes, no doubt. 20 home runs in, 54 games, 55 games, something like that?
53, yeah.
Ridiculous pace. All right, well, I know we're going to do a little postseason talk here, but we're kind of running out of a little time here. So I guess we can just kind of go into a hot tweet and a hot picks and catch up on the postseason
let's just do World Series picks real quick.
All right. Who you got?
All right. I'm going to take the Boston Red Sox out of the American League and the Chicago Cubs out of the National League.
Boring. That's who I have.
Oh, that sucks. That's kind of what I want to happen. I have a sneaking suspicion that San Francisco is going to beat the Mets in some thrilling game tomorrow and then go to five games with Chicago. And if they can somehow get past Chicago, then watch out.
Yeah, I think we all know that the Dodgers or Nationals aren't going to be stopping anyone from going to the World Series.
No, I got a hot take from earlier back that says the Dodgers are going to lose in the division series, so that needs to happen again.
All right, well, so we can get to our hot takes this week. Let's get to our hot tweet here. And we'll pick our World Series winners next week or something, so we'll do that.
Sure. Okay.
All right, do you have a hot tweet?
Yeah, as you may have heard, Tim Tebow hit a home run in his first at-bat in instructional league, and so this comes from at Chris Paso, and this is all in caps. So imagine that. Tebow's home run went 316 feet, happened 3 hours and 16 minutes past 9 o'clock a.m., and was on a 316-mile-per-hour fastball. He used a 31.6-ounce bat, hashtag 316.
My God. All right. I swear we didn't call and collab our show tonight, but my hot tweet is from Skip Bayless, and it was today at 4:07, Hot Take King, Skip Bayless. And it says, Tim Tebow was good enough in instructional league to advance the Arizona Fall League. No surprise here.
That's amazing.
Yep, yep. We'll just leave that at that. All right,
yep.
Hot picks. We have the NL wildcard game tomorrow night. Giants, Mets, I think you already picked the winner, but who you got?
Yeah, I got to go Giants. They are, of course, throwing, quote-unquote, he who must not be named. And I still don't like Noah Syndergaard.
Yeah,
so,
I'm going Giants too.
Go
kind of worried about their offense. Being able to score runs, but somehow when they get to postseason, they figure things out, and I think that's kind of what's going to happen in this game. And they have the postseason legend on the bump, so that always helps.
Yeah, and it's just, yeah, the core, a lot of the same guys are on the team. They know what they're doing when they get to this point. So, all right, I guess let's go to the NFL, the only NFL game we got, and that's Falcons at Broncos, 3-1 at 4-0. Who you got there?
I'm taking the Broncos. I'm not a believer in Matt Ryan. And I think that the Broncos are going to cause some headaches for the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday.
Yeah, hey, that's Mr. 500 yards passing, Matt Ryan, to you. But no, yeah, the Falcons.
It's over half going to one guy.
Yes. Three-fifths, in fact. The Broncos, I'm assuming – Trevor Siemian plays. Even if Paxton Lynch plays, I'd probably lean towards the Broncos just being at home and because they're at least going to make a wholehearted attempt to limit Julio Jones's production. And they'll probably the Falcons defense isn't good enough to keep the Broncos defense off the board. So, yep.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we only got a couple minutes here. We'll kind of rapid fire these. Red River Rivalry Saturday, Texas-Oklahoma, can also be called who keeps their job rivalry. Who you taking?
I think it'll be a close game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout or anything, but I got to go Oklahoma.
All right, I'm keeping faith. I'm going Texas. All right, so that brings us number 9, Tennessee, at number 8, Texas A&M. Who you got?
I'm going to go Tennessee. I think I'm finally a believer.
All right, I am not a believer. I think that their luck's going to run out, but I don't think it'll be Saturday. I have Tennessee as well. Who's your upset?
I'm going to take USC over Colorado.
All right, who would ever thought that'd be an upset? Go Clay Helton. My upset is the Houston Texans over the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday.
Okay, all right. That's all right, yeah.
Okay.
All right, you got a hot take?
Got a hot take? I do. Kershaw dominates the NLDS.
Oh, just the NLDS? What's he going to pitch 3 times?
They're going to get to the NLCS.
Oh, all right. Anyway,